Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yavama's Daf Mem Tes. We begin at the very top with the brand new Mishnah, Mem Tes Amud Aleph. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas, a number of people. We're learning Le'ili Nishmas, Elaine Ackerman, Esther Masha Bas Aaron. We're learning for Clara Band, Chaya Bas Leibush. And also we're learning Le'ili Nishmas, Morris Lustig, Moshe Ben Elchanan Zev. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. So again, we begin at the very top, Mem Tes Amud Aleph, with the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Ezehu Mamzer. What is the definition of a Mamzer? We've discussed this a little bit previously. We're going to see that we've had the opinion of Rabbi Akiva and the opinion of Shimon HaTimni, and we're going to add on three different understandings of Rabbi Akiva, plus Shimon HaTimni, plus the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. So there'll be five different opinions as to what is necessary, what lav is necessary to be over to Rahman al-Islam and create a Mamzer. So the Mishnah starts, what is the definition of a mamzer? So first we'll give the first definition of Rabbi Akiva. Kol she'er basar shublo yavo. If a person has a relationship with a she'er basar, that is a relationship that is a relative to him, that is forbidden, an isser in the Torah, so that, according to Rabbi Akiva, is going to make the child that's born from such a product of a relationship to be a mamzer. This includes even lavin of the relatives, not only kares, and certainly not only misas beistin. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that we have in our Mishnah. We had previously a slightly different version of Rabbi Akiva, and we'll add an additional opinion of Rabbi Akiva, of how to understand Rabbi Akiva. So it'll be three different opinions of Rabbi Akiva. All of them are more machmir in terms of creating a mamzer than the opinion now that we're going to have of Shimon HaTimni. Shimon HaTimni Omer, we had his opinion previously as well. Kol shechayavim olav kares bidei shamayim. Any child that is born out of a relationship that was a iser of kares between the two parents, so then that child is going to be a mamzer. And the Mishnah states, V'halocha kidvarov. We posket like this opinion of Shimon HaTimni. Then we introduce a new opinion, which we may have mentioned or alluded slightly previously. That's the opinion of Yeshua. Yeshua, Omer, the Mishnah says, Kol shechayavim olav misas beistin. Only the product of a relationship that was a chiyav of misas beistin. For example, an adulterous woman. That type of a relationship where if they were warned properly, they had a proper hasra with Eidim, they would be chayiv misas beistin, one of the dal misas of beistin. So then, only that type of an isser relationship would relate to having a child that's a mamzer. But if it's just, quote, just a chiyav of kares, so then Rabbi Yeshua would be more machmir or more mekel, depending on your perspective, in not creating a mamzer from that relationship. So Rabbi Yeshua says it's only for a misas beistin. Shimon HaTimni says misas beistin plus a chiyav kares. And Rabbi Akiva says alav, and we'll have to define again three different opinions of Rabbi Akiva as to what constitute, what type of alav will allow a child to be born that's a mamzer. Then we have the Mishnah continuing. Rabbi Shimon ben Azoy says, "Matzosi Megillas Yosim Yushalayim v'kosuv ba ish ploni mamzer me'eshes ish lekayim divri Rabbi Yeshua." So Rabbi Shimon ben Azoy tells us that they found the Megillas Yosim. They found a records of who was related to who from Yushalayim, and it stated in there that such and such a person was a mamzer because they were the relationship of a eshes ish. And now an eshes ish, Rahman al-Islam, if she commits adultery, so then the child born from such a relationship is going to be a mamzer. That's in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, because this is a misas based in situation. It didn't give an example of kares or of lav, and therefore this document, this Megillas Yochsin, is going to be a proof to Rabbi Yeshua. Then the Mishnah continues and tells us, Ishto Shemei, so Rahman al-Islam, if a person's wife were to pass away, so that we mentioned already previously, Mutur Beachosa. This is a very unusual relationship that all the other arayas there are, the Torah forbids, so they occur whether the woman who was the original wife is alive or not. So a person's never allowed to have a relationship with his mother-in-law, whether his wife's alive or not, or with his wife's daughter, if his wife had another husband, and that relationship produced the daughter. So even after his wife dies, Rahman al-Islam, he's not allowed to have a relationship with that daughter. So all the other arayas, with the exception of the sister of the wife, are forbidden, whether the wife is alive or not. But there's a special kula here, if you wish, that when a wife passes away, so the sister then becomes permitted. Until then, she was usur. And we mentioned previously, there's a famous Gemara that said that there was such a situation, Nebuchadnezzar, the wife died in childbirth, and the person who was now a widow, so he went and married what was his former sister-in-law on the way back from the cemetery. And the reasoning behind that, we explained, is who else is going to love the children and raise the children more than the wife's sister? So that's why a teleological explanation for why the Torah permitted this. Bottom line is, Ishto Shemesa Mutu Biachosa. This is the only erva that's permitted after the woman involved passes away. So if the wife passes away, you're permitted to marry her sister. Similar idea, Girsha Umesa. The wife is divorced, and then she passes away. So in that situation, also, Mutu Bachosa, he would be allowed to go and marry his divorced wife's sister. Now, the next situation is similar. Nisei Li'acher, if after the divorce, the wife got married to somebody else, and then Mesa, also Mutu Bachosa. It doesn't make a difference when, under any circumstance, his wife dies, so then he's allowed to go and marry her sister. Doesn't make a difference whether she died single or she died married to somebody else, and that is the halacha. The Mishnah continues and says, similarly, Yevimto Shemesa, if a woman that was his Yevama passed away, then he's Mutu Bachosa as well. No different than if she was his wife, she would be permitted to marry his wife's sister after the wife Nebuch passes away. So too, the Yevama, if she passes away, he's permitted to marry her sister. Similarly, Cholatzla Umesa, if he gave her Chalitza and then she passed away, again, Mutu Bachosa, she's the only one of the Arayis that would be now be permitted to him. Nisis Lacher, after he did Chalitza, she went and married somebody else, and then she died of Mesa, still, Mutu Bachosa, doesn't make any difference, he'd be permitted to go and marry his ex-wife's or ex-Yavama's sister, Nebuch, after the wife or the Yavama passed away, or the Chalitza, when she passed away. Now the Gemara starts off in questions. What's the understanding of my time with Rabbi Akiva? Why did Rabbi Akiva say that Kol She'er Basar, Shehu Belo Yavo is a mamzer? Why did Rabbi Akiva say that anybody that has a relationship that's even prohibited just by a lav, if it's one of your relatives, below yavo, so then that's going to be a mamzer produced, rachmanu l'tzlan, to such a relationship? What's that based upon? So it's based upon the pasuk that tells us, lo yikach ish es eishes aviv, v'lo yigale knaf aviv. That's the whole pasuk. So this pasuk tells us, lo yikach ish es eishes aviv, v'lo yigale knaf aviv. So this pasuk is telling us, knaf shiro aviv lo yigala. Any knaf, that means a robe. So any woman that your father had the right to see her not clothed, so then you're not allowed to have also megala, you're not allowed to go and see that as well. In other words, you're forbidden to anybody that your father was allowed to be with. Now, this understanding here is that the Savalok Rabbi Yehuda, this understanding of Rabbi Akiva is that he holds like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And what did he say, the Amar? This pasuk is referring to the Anusas Oviv HaKosu B'daber. This is referring to a woman who was not the father's wife, but it was a woman that he had a relationship with. Anusa literally means that it was a forced relationship, a lav dafka. It could be a totally voluntary relationship, but an unmarried relationship. This is called Anusas Oviv. It could be Mefutas Oviv, or it could be whatever the situation was that the father had relations with such a woman. So here, she's not his wife. So therefore, there's not an Isser of Karis in this situation. It's just, quote, a lav. So, Benusas Aviv HaKosim Medaber, the Havila Chayiv Lav, which is only, quote, a lav. And therefore, it's right next to the Pasuk, Usomichlei Lo Yova Mamz B'Kal Hashem. The first Pasuk was Perich of Gimel, Pasuk Aleph in Devarim. And this next Pasuk, Pasuk Beis, is Lo Yavo Mamza B'Kal Hashem, Gam Dor Asiri, Lo Yavo Lo B'Kal Hashem. So therefore, the smichos of these psukim, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda, who does the Darshan smichos in the first four svarim of Chumash, Darshan's smichos in Sefer Devarim, there's a Pasuk Sefer Devarim, and therefore the juxtaposition of these two psukim, the Anusas Aviv, which is a lav, next to the Pasuk, Lo Yavo Mamza B'Kal Hashem, comes to teach us, Alma Mehani Hevi Mamzer. This is the drasha that the Tana of our Mishnah, as understanding Rabbi Akiva, says that Rabbi Akiva holds, if it's a share basar, if it's a relative that has a lav attached to it, so then this is going to create a Mamzer. Now this is the understanding of our Mishnah's opinion of Rabbi Akiva. However, we previously had learned on Daf Mem Dalet a different opinion. Rabbi Simoi, who said, Demarbe Sheor Chayvi Lavim, the Lav de She'er. So he, Rabbi Simoi, includes not only She'er, but he even includes other Chayvi Lavim. Rashi explains what this would include. In Dibra Maskel, Rabbi Simoi. So he brings this down for the Gemara in Ksubos and in Kedushin. Minakol Hayaoser Rabbi Akiva Mamzerim. The only exception being Chutz Me'almona Lekoin Godol. That's the only one that, because they're called halalim, so they're not called mamzerim. But that would therefore include in this chayvi lavim that creates a mamzer, other than relatives, but it would include as well machzik grushaso, a person who marries his wife again for a second time after she'd gotten married in between. So Reuven divorced Rachel. Rachel then got married to Yankel, and then Yankel divorced her, Yankel died, and then Reuven marries her again. So that's machzik grushaso in a way that's not permitted mishanises, or if a person marries an asina, or if a person marries the Zayin Ummos, so you're not allowed to go and marry all those people. That's with a lav. And therefore, in all of these situations, Rav Simoy says, you'd also create a mamzer from such a relationship. And then we have the third opinion of Rabbi Kiva, or Rabbi Yeshevov, who's the marbe afilu chayv yasei. He says, included in this is a chayv yasei. For example, it says, dor shlishi yavo, in regards to a mitzri, that only in the third generation can you go marry them. Lo sheni, and certainly not a rishon. So therefore, this is a lav, don't marry them until the third generation. So it's a lav of Omiklal say that you should marry them only in Dor Shlishi of Olahem. And therefore, this is a lav of Omiklal say. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshevov teaches us that even this relationship would create a mamzer according to Rabbi Akiva. So we have five shitas. We have the shita of our Mishnah, Rabbi Simoy, and Rabbi Yeshevov as to what Rabbi Akiva's opinion was. Then we have Shimon HaTimni, and then we had Rabbi Yoshua. Now, the two different opinions, Rabbi Simoy and Rabbi Yeshevov, that disagreed with the Tana of our Mishnah, understanding Rabbi Akiva, where did they learn their sheet out from? So the Gemara says, Nafka luhu mi velo. The word said over here, lo yikach ish es eshes aviv velo yigale knaf aviv. So the extra velo comes to teach us this din, according to Rabbi Simoy and Rabbi Yeshevov. That Gemara says, Shimon HaTimni, where does he get a sheet that has to be based upon achiv kares only, or arba misas basin, but not less than the chiyuv of kares? So shavah like a rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon HaTimni holds like the rabbanan. The amrei b'shomeris yavim shel aviv akosim medaber, that this pasuk of lo yikach ish es ishes aviv lo yigal knaf aviv is not talking about anusas aviv like the town of Amisha said Rabbi Akiva holds, but it's talking about a shomeris yavim shel aviv, that you're not allowed to have a relationship with this woman who's zikuka liyibum to the father. That's what it says. The habulei chayv krisus, that would be a situation of a chiyuv kares, and therefore usamich le loyav mamzer pikal Hashem. The next pasuk beis is the juxtaposition between a chiyuv kares and creating a mamzer, and therefore according to Shimon HaTimni, alma mechayv krisus heavy mamzer, but not from chayv lav. Finally, Rabbi Yeshua, how does his opinion get learned? What's the source of his opinion? So he says, instead of writing the pasuk lo yikach ish es eshes aviv v'lo yigale knaf aviv, you judge should have had the Torah writing lichta rabbana lo yigale. Just write lo yigale knaf aviv. Why does it say lo yikach v'lo yigale? Lo yigale is not the critical point. The critical point is lo yikach. That's why lo yigale is a parenthesis. Why does it say lo yikach? Lomali, what's the purpose of that? Elo, mustn't it come to teach us? According to Rabbi Yeshua, this is why it says both lo yikach and lo yigala, to teach us the following. All the scenarios, mi lo yikach ad lo yigala, heavy mamzer. Only those situations which are both of them, tfei lo heavy mamzer. But if you're not in this specific isser, which is achiv misas based in, then you're not going to create a mamzer. How exactly do we learn this out? So Rashi tells us, in Dibra Maschel, mi lo yikach ad lo yigala, this is talking about the Hainu Eishes Av Haksuva Ben Lo Yikach Lo Yigala. In between, it says Lo Yikach Ish Es Eishes Aviv. So as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who said this was Anusas Aviv, as opposed to Shimon HaTimni, who said that this was the woman who Zukuka Liyavim to the father. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it's a Lav. According to Shimon HaTimni, it's an Isser Kares. And here, Eishes Av, that's an Isser of Misas based in. So therefore, he has this as the source of his pasuk, teaching us that you only chayv mamzer if it's with a mises based in situation. Gemara continues and says, Amar Abaye, hakomodim, everybody agrees, b'ba al anida, if a person has relationship with anida, which is of course forbidden, and we turn to memtes omibes, or v'al asota. Asota here means an eishes is the top rashi, shazinsa, that she actually had znus. We're not talking about the classical definition of a sota, that we're not sure, did she or did she not commit adultery, and she drinks demei sota, the mayim ha-ma'arim, to determine is she or is she not a sota. Here, Sota sometimes used to say avadai zinsa. So if a person who's the husband of this woman, he's not allowed to live with his wife after she, Rachmon Litzan, committed adultery, and he has relations with her. So both in the case of a person who has relations with a nida, or the person who's married to a woman who Nebuch was zinsa, and he has relations with her afterwards, in both of these situations, everybody's bothered, even the three opinions of Rabbi Akiva, she'ain havlad mamzer. In this situation, none of the five opinions, the three of Rabbi Akiva, Shimon HaTimni, nor Rabbi Yeshua, would say that this product of such a relationship between a man in the nido, or a man and his wife, who is the sota, she'ein havlad mamzer. Everybody agrees, the vlad is not in this situation, mamzer. Now, why is that? So Abaye tells us, nido, doha tovsi ba kiddushin. If a man were to give kiddushin to a nida, so the woman can accept it, and they are in fact married. The kiddushin achal, the kiddushin atofes. This happens, unfortunately, sometimes with a regularly arranged marriage, where the wedding date is set, and never the woman is pirsanida. So often they'll take medications to prevent this, or they'll work out the cycle, but it's never perfect. So you have a chupas nida, but the kiddushin are definitely chal. So the Gemara tells us, since the kiddushin achal, the whole tofsi ba kiddushin, shenemar usihi nidasa alav, that's a lotion of usihi, is a lotion of havaya, and therefore this tells us the marriage takes effect, even though he's marrying a nida, afilu bishas nidasa, even during the time that she's a nida, tofsi ba kiddushin. And therefore, the rule is, Abai is going to tell us, that any time the kiddushin would be chal with such a woman, it's not going to be able to create a mamzer. The next scenario was the sota. So Abaye says as well, sota nami, the hot tofsi bo kiddushin. In fact, not that the kiddushin ever goes away, but what he's saying here is the kiddushin, despite the fact that the wife never committed adultery, the kiddushin is still present. Yes, the husband has to give her a get, but that means he has to give her a get to remove the kiddushin. Just for the fact that she committed adultery, Rachmona Litzlan, doesn't mean that the kiddushin don't stay in effect. So therefore, these two scenarios where the kiddushin are still tofes or are tofes lechatchila by the nida, so that's why Abaye says there is no situation here of being a mamzer. Now, Tadinam Yochri, a b'raisa that agrees with what Abaye just said. At least it tells us that those two scenarios of Abaye are definitely right. It brings down a third scenario, which we'll have to ask, then why didn't Abaye mention the third scenario of the b'raisa? So the b'raisa says, Tadinam Yochri, ha'komodim, everybody is in agreement, b'bo al hanida v'al ha'sota, in those two situations, that she'en avlad mamzer. But the b'raisa mentions one additional case as well, v'al shomeris yovam. If a person has a relationship with a woman whose nebuch husband passed away and she's waiting to undergo yibum v'chalitza, and meanwhile, she has relations with somebody. So this person is having relations with a woman who's shomeris yovam, so the b'raisa tells us her as well, that if a child were to be born from such a relationship, she'en avlad mamzer. So now, the first two corroborate what Abaye said. Hakomodim bivo ala nida, v'ala sota, she'en havlad mamzer. But it mentioned the third thing in this braisa, if you have bo'al shomeris yavam, it also doesn't create a vlad that's a mamzer. Why didn't Abaye mention that? So Abaye, why didn't he include that as well? So the Gemara answers, because shomeris yavam is a misafkale ikarav ikikshmul. That's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. As Rashi points out, ikarav, the other parakei shiraba, which we'll learn on Daf Tzadi Beis, minayin she'en kiddushin tosim v'yivama. If you were to give kiddushin to this woman waiting yibum, the kiddushin are nachal according to Rav. D'chsev lo siyeh eishes hameis le'ish zor. What does that mean? Lo siyeh bohavaya lezor v'avlad mamzer. According to Rav, if you give kiddushin to such a woman who's waiting to have yibum done with her, so then the kiddushin aren't tofes, and therefore that's why this lav is going to create a mamzer according to Rabbi Akiva. That's Rav's opinion. However, Shmuel disagrees. But if you hold like Shmuel, the next Rashi, Ike Shmuel, then in this scenario where the man gave Kiddushin to her, we're not sure whether Kiddushin Chal or the Kiddushin not Chal. So you have to give a get, Misofik, in this situation, because maybe the Kiddushin will Chal. So according to Shmuel, it's possible the Kiddushin will Chal. According to Rav, the Kiddushin will not Chal. So Abaye didn't want to get involved in this machlokas over here. That's why Abaye didn't give this statement. The Braisa clearly rules that we are in some way saying that the Kiddushin is Chal, either Vaday or Safek, and therefore that's why the Braisa includes it as well as not creating a Mamzer. Then we go back to quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Azai v'chule. Rabbi Shimon ben Azai said that they filed this Megillas Yuchsin, which seemed to support Rabbi Yeshua's statement. So now let's explore this a little bit more, the Gemara. The Braisa brings down, Tani Shimon ben Azai, Rabbi Shimon ben Azai says, Omer, Matzasi Megillas Yuchsin, Mil Yerushalayim. He found this Megillas Yuchsin, this document that showed who was who in terms of their lineage, and it was in Yerushalayim, for Kosovba, and it stated inside of it, Ish ploni mamzer meyeshus ish. It said so-and-so is a mamzer from the relationship of an adulterous relationship. Meish meyeshus ish. Man never had relations with a woman who's a married woman. And that child that was born, the Megillus Yuchsin said that child's a mamzer. Because of Ba, it was also stated over there, some other dinim. It also said, Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Kavinoki. It said that whenever you have in a Mishnah, some suggest also in a Brisa, a statement from Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, since he only said Kav, he only said a small number of such statements, Rashi says this is a small amount, and therefore he's not found many, many times that he states something, but whenever he states it, Vinoki, he's very, very careful, and therefore we always paskin like the Mishnayis of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And the third thing that was found in its Megillah, because of Ba, Menashe Horagis Yeshaya, that Menashe Nebuch, the king of Israel, Menashe, he was the son of Chizkiyahu Melech. Chizkiyahu was a great king, and Nebuch, he had a son, Menashe, who was the longest reigning Melech of Malchus Yehuda. He reigned for 55 years, and Nebuch, he wasn't a good king, to say the least, and he also killed his grandfather, Yeshaya. You know, the famous story, the Gemara in Brachos, tells us that Chizkiyahu got very sick, and Yeshaya went to visit him. Her question as to why that had to happen. Yeshaya didn't want to go to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu didn't want to go to Yeshaya. Each one had a claim that the other one should come to him. Kadosh Baruch Hu made it that Chizkiyahu Melech got sick, and therefore Yeshaya didn't know. He had to go and visit him to do Bikur Cholim. In any event, so he said, the reason why you're going to die both in this world and in the next world, Yeshaya told Chizkiyahu, is because you're not married. So Chizkiyahu said, I saw that I would have terrible progeny. I saw I would have terrible children. So that's why I decided not to get married. So Yeshaya tells him, don't get involved, but Kivsi Rachmona, what are you doing involved in the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Chizkiyahu said, okay, so then let me marry your daughter. So Yeshaya said, fine. So Chizkiyahu HaMelech married Yeshaya's daughter. So therefore, Chizkiyahu HaMelech had two children. He had Menashe, and he had another son. The other son died, and Menashe ultimately was the king after him, and was a terrible king for 55 years. And ultimately, Menashe killed his mother's father, Yeshaya HaNavi. And the Gemara will tell us the story about that in a second. In any event, this Megillas Yuchsin told us these three things. The first two that we mentioned, that the support for Rabbi Yoshua, that only a mamzer is created from a Mises based in, and the second statement that Mishas Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Kavinoki, those are self-explanatory, don't need further explanation. But this third statement, the Menashe Hargis Yeshaya, now we're going to spend a little bit of time, the rest of the shir, for today, going into. Amar Rava, Rava said, Mei dan daine v'katle, Menashe was the king, and he judged his grandfather Yeshaya as being a Navi Sheker, and therefore he killed him, as we'll see in this story in a second. So why did Menashe say that his Zayda, his great Navi grandfather, Yeshaya HaNavi, was Chayiv Misa as a Navi Sheker? So Menashe told his Zayda, Yeshaya, Amalei, Moshe Rabcha Omar, your Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu said that nobody can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu live. If you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to die. As the Pasuk says, Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. And yet you, my Zayda, Yeshaya, you're saying, Mi'at Amritz, Vo'ere es Hashem, Yoshev al Kisei Rom v'niso. I saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting on a kisei, on a throne, a chair that was high and mighty. So that obviously can't be true. So therefore, you're lying, and you're Novi Sheker, Novi Sheker Chayav Misa. Second point that Menashe told his Zayda, Yeshaya Navi, Moshe Rabbeinu, your Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu, said, the Pasuk in its entirety states, Ki mi goy godol, asher lo elokim krovim elov, kashem elokeinu, v'chol kareinu elov. So we quote part of that Pasuk, and the Pasuk says, Mi is like kashem elokeinu, v'chol kareinu elov. Which nation has a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like our nation has, that he's near us whenever we call out to him? Now, that implies that we can call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at any time, and he'll answer. But you, Yeshaya, Menashe tells his Zayda, V'yat Amris, you said, Dirushu Hashem b'matzo. You can only seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu at certain times, when he can be found. So you're disagreeing with your Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, Yechayiv Misa. That's number two. And the third thing, he said, Moshe Rabcha Amar, your Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu said, Es bispar yomecho amalei. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people that you'll live out the days of your lives, but you, Yeshaya, you said, Vosafti ayomecha chameshes rishona. You told my father, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, that if he goes and gets married, then Hashem will add on 15 years to his life. And that's what happened, that you gave your daughter, Menashe is telling Yishai, you gave your daughter, my mother, to be the wife of Chizkiyo, and he was added on 15 years. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, nobody gets added on. Es mispar yomecha malei. At best, you'll get the amount of years that you were supposed to get. Nobody gets added on years. So for these three reasons, Menashe says to his Zayda, Yeshaya, you're chayev misa, because you're a Novi Sheker, you're making things up. So Yeshaya said, what am I supposed to do? Omer Yeshaya, Yadana Bey, I know my grandson. Delo mekabel ma de'emolei. He will not listen to anything I tell him. And what will happen then? De'emolei, if I go and tell him, so now he'll know the right answer, but he'll ignore it. So instead of him thinking that he's right to kill me, and he kills me only bishogeg, so to say, now he'll know that I'm right, but he'll still kill me anyway. Ashvai amazed it. I'm going to turn him into an intentional murder, which is far, far worse than being an unintentional murder. So therefore, Yishai said, I'm not going to respond to him, and I'm going to hide from him. Omar shame, Yishai Novi said, the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Yibola bi'arza, and he was swallowed up and became a cedar tree, an erez. What happened? Asuyulur arza, unisarua. Menashe was able to see him. The Yerushalmi tells us a fascinating medrash that Yeshaya's tzitzis were hanging out from the tree, and therefore they saw that that tree was really Yeshaya Navi. The Ben Yoyada has an interesting explanation on this Yerushalmi, and he says, because Yeshaya had said that Klal Yisrael was Am Tomeis Vosayim, and he said that on his own. He said that Klal Yisrael is a nation that's impure with its mouth, and he said that Midato, Shalot Tzivalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem didn't say that he should say this. And in fact, Klal Yisrael is following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They aren't an Am Tomei Sosayim. Yishai was wrong in calling us that, even though sometimes we don't follow what Hashem says, but he was wrong to say this without being a Nevuah. And therefore, Hashem said, since you call them an Am Tomei Sosayim, so you're going to be recognized and you'll be killed with your mouth, as we'll see in a moment, the rest of the story in the Gemara. And the Ben Yoyada brings down that Klal Yisrael is referred to as a ben of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is alluded to in the tzitzis. The tzitzis have five knots and eight strands. So on each of the four corners, that's 5 plus 8 is 13, which is Echad, the gematria of Echad. And you have four corners, that's 4 times 13, which is 52, which is the gematria of ben. And we are a ben to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. And we have the tzitzis in the front, and we have the tzitzis in the back. And therefore, he basically said that we are not going to be ben to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are an Am Tomei Svasayim. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Yeshaya die from his tzitzis that represented this idea that Klal Yisrael is always surrounding themselves in mitzvos, and specifically his mouth, who called Klal Yisrael Am Tomei Svasayim, so he was killed when the axe, as we'll see, they cut down this Erez tree, went and killed him in his mouth. Ben Yoyada also brings out an interesting gematria. He says that if you take the gematria mole of the word Erez, in other words, the word Erez is spelled out Aleph, Reish, Zayin, so the Aleph is Lamed and a Fei. You don't have the Aleph in the gematria, and you have the Reish, which is a Yud and a Shin, not including the Reish, and you have the Zayin, which is the Yud and the Nun. This is called gematria mole. So if you add that up, it's 480, which is exactly the gematria of Peh Yeshaya. Again, a very unusual gematria, and it alludes to this Yerushalmi that brings down that the Yeshaya turned into a tree, but he was recognized because his tzitzis stuck out from the tree, and he was killed. So the Gemara continues, and it says this: Asyua li arza, they recognized that this tree was Yeshaya, and unisarua, and they cut it down. And kimoto lahade puma, and when they got to the point where Yeshaya nebuch his mouth was noch nafshe, when they cut it down, that's where they killed him. Mishum de Omar, because he said the unnecessary words, Ubesoch Am Tmei Sosayim Anochi Yoshev. As I pointed out, this was not a Nevuah, Rashi says. He added that on his own, and therefore he's held accountable. The Gemara says, Nu, Mikol Mokom, Koshu Kroy Adodi. Nu, granted that Yeshaya didn't try to answer Menashe for these three riots that Menashe brought. What are the answers to those three? So Gemara says the first one, for Eres Hashem, that Yeshaya said, I was able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eres Hashem, Yoshev HaKisi Rav Menisa. So the Gemara says, Kiditanya, this is not a going against what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Kol Anavim, other than Moshe Rabbeinu, Nistaklu Bas Plakaria, Shenom Ira. They looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they got their Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like through an opaque glass. Ukesurim Liros V'loro. They thought they were seeing, but they really weren't seeing. However, Moshe Rabbeinu, Nistakol Basbaklaria Hamira, he looked through clear glass. So they were all looking through an opaque glass, and they see some movement or something, but they don't really have a clarity of vision. whereas Moshe Rabbeinu had a clarity of vision. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu like I'm seeing him, if you saw more than that, Kilo Yirani Ha'adam V'Chai. If you see more than what Moshe Rabbeinu saw, you can't survive. But Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see more than all the other Nevi'im. And even though Yeshaya is considered the second greatest Navi, nevertheless, his visions were not the same as Moshe Rabbeinu's, and therefore he thought he was able to see because they weren't really seeing. So that's the reconciliation of the first pasuk that Menashe brought. Then Yeshaya said, "Dir Shoshem Bimotzo," implying that you can only reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu where and when he can be found. And Moshe Rabbeinu said he's always available. How do you reconcile that? So the Gemara says, "Ho Yochid Ho Betzibur." It depends. Be Yochid, an individual. So then he's only able to go and seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu at certain times. But the Tzibur always can seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when exactly can the Yochid go? Be Yochid, Eimas. So this goes in accord with the opinion of Amar Rabbi Nachman, Amar Rabbi Baravua, that this is talking about Elu Asari Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. An individual has an excellent extra opportunity to do tshuva and to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the Aseres Mitzvah. And that's why that's such a special period of time. Now, we, in fact, paskin that you can reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times, but that's an especially mesugal dikah time, especially good time to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we do many things during the Aseres Mitzvah that we don't necessarily do all year long. Finally, the third thing, es mispar yomecha amalei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not add on additional days to your life. He'll only give you what you're supposed to have. So how do you reconcile that with the 15 years that Yeshaya says were added on to Chizkiyahu? So this is actually machlokas tanoim, tanoihi. Where is that? The tiny. It says in the following brisa, darshti in this pasuk es mispar yomecha amalei, I will give you a full life of the days that you're supposed to have when we turn to Nun Amud Aleph. So this is a reference to Elu Shinei Dorus. These are the years that the person has that were given to him by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But Zocha Mashlimlo, only if you're Zocha do you get this complete allotted amount of time that you were allotted. Lo Zocha, the person, Rachmona Litzlan, is not doing the right things, so he's not Zocha to that life that he was allotted. Pokus and Lo, they take away some of those years. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Chachamim disagree. Chachamim say, Zocha Mosifilo. If you're good, then you even get more years added on to that. And it's only if Lo Zocha, Pochas and Lo. And it's only if you're not doing the right things, then you may not get what you were allotted, you get less than that. So that's what the Chachamim say. They said to Rabbi Akiva, Amrlo to Rabbi Akiva, Hari Omer, the Pasuk says, Tosafti al Yomecha Chameshes Reishana. It says that Yeshaya said HaKadosh Baruch Hu ended on 15 years to Chizkiyahu. So how can you, Rabbi Akiva, say that at best you'll only fill out the years that you were allotted, but you're not going to be given any more? Here it says that Yeshaya tells Chizkiyahu, you're getting an extra 15 years. How do you dash in that puzzle? So Rabbi Akiva says back to the Chachamim, Mishalo Sifalo. No, he was supposed to live those 15 years originally, and they were taken away because he didn't get married. So now that he got married, so they were given back to him. And I'll show you that I'm right, Rabbi Akiva says, Teda, Shari Navi, Omeidu Misnave, because we have a prior Nevuah, before Chizkiyahu was around, where the Navi said to Yerovam ben Nevat, who was the first Melech of the northern kingdom of Malchus Yisrael, that broke away under Rehoboam's rule after Shlomo HaMelech, it was split up by HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the Malchus Yehud and the Malchus Yisrael. So the Navi said to Yerovam ben Nevat, Shari Navi Omenu is Navi, and told him, Hinei Bein Nolad Lebeis David, Yoshoshmo. A child will be born to the house of David, and his name will be Yoshio. This is the great Yoshio, which we read about on the second day of Pesach in the Haftorah of the second day of Pesach. And Ba'adayin lo nolad Menashe. Now, Menashe, who was his grandfather, Yoshio's father was Amon. He was the ruler for 2 years. Menashe was the ruler for 55 years. And his grandfather wasn't even born at the time of Yerovam Nevat, which was at the beginning of the Malchus of both Yehuda and of Yisrael. And therefore, it was not definitely prophesied that Chizkiyahu would be the one to be the father of Yoshiyahu. He was really the great-grandfather of Yoshiyahu. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, you see clearly that Chizkiyahu was going to be the great-grandfather of Yoshiyahu. So that was already prophesied. So if he had died 15 years earlier, that Navi couldn't have come true. That Nevuah couldn't have come true. So obviously, you see clearly that it was a set amount of time for Chizkiyahu. No, what did the Rabbanon do with that? Sounds like Rabbi Kiva's right. The Rabbanon, Miksev v'Chizkiyahu. Who says that this Ben would be born that would be known as Yoshio? Who said that Chizkiyahu would be his great-grandfather? It just says the Beis David Ksiv. It could have come from a different part of Beis David. Im Chizkiyahu nolad, im inish achrina, or from somebody else. So therefore, there's no proof from this pasuk that it had to be from Chizkiyahu, and therefore, we say that, in fact, it could be added on, because this pasuk doesn't necessarily say that there was a certain allotment that would have to be Chizkiyahu's lifetime. And we'll go to the last part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ishto Shemesa V'chule, Yivimto Shemesa V'chule. This is teaching us the din that we already learned previously, that the wife of a person, Nebuch, if she passes away, or the chalutz of the person, if she passes away, or the grush of the person who passes away, you're allowed to marry your sister. So we know this already. Why is it telling it to us again? So Rabbi Yosef, tells us, Kan Shona Rebbe, Mishnah She'ena Tzricha. Here Rebbe taught a Mishnah that wasn't necessary to be taught. It was already known to us. However, Rashi points out, the Zil Kari Bei Rav, who is a well-known pasuk that they learned in, even the little yeshiva kids knew this, Aleha B'chaya, the pasuk says, Shelo Nesu Achosu Ela B'chaya, that you only have in this situation the Isser of the wife of a person only while the wife is alive. But Nebuch, Rechmona Litzlan, if the wife passes away, so then the sister is permitted. So this was unnecessary, it was well-known, but Rebbe taught it here anyway. Kan Shona Rebbe, Mishnah She'enu Tzricha. With this, we conclude the beautiful fourth perek. Hadron Alecha Cholitz Levimto, Hadron Alecha Cholitz Levimto, Hadron Alecha Cholitz Levimto. It's Hashem, tomorrow we'll start the beautiful fifth perek. With this, we conclude today's shir.